This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Here we are. We're live. It is Wednesday morning. As per the contract, Gord, we get to do the show naked today.
Yes.
You especially inserted that clause, right?
It was actually reneged on last week, and I was very upset about it, so I thought... About bloody time you guys start keeping your word.
Look at this show WhatsApp group, and Gord put the fear of God into Leanne and Ben and Sia yesterday when he said, you know.
That was a typo. It was the fear of Gord, by the way. Sorry. I meant to correct that.
No, it's also the fear of Gord. We all had to come here naked and do the show naked today.
Yep.
Imagine how horrible that would be.
We decided.
Do you think we'd think better of each other or worse?
We decided thongs were allowed if you really had to be, if you had a modesty issue. Because I don't want to violate anybody's sense
of privacy.
You
want a thong, Sia?
Cisco called and he said thongs are just not a thing after his song, so no, thank you.
Yeah.
I think we'd actually think less of each other. Isn't it like our natural state to
some
look
of the
at
best
each other
conversations I've ever had with? Well, depends who you're looking at, buddy. Speak for yourself. Some of my best conversations I've ever had with strangers have been butt naked in steam rooms.
I hate the steam room.
Because then you just.
I hate the steam room for one reason. They're always these very creepy, leering types in there as well.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with, like, honestly, I think the gym is a perfect illustration of how racism is not the biggest problem in South Africa.
What do you mean?
Should we controversial statement to begin the show?
Yeah, I'll tell you why, because people get on with it. I mean, I don't care if they're black guys, white guys, anything else. I don't think anyone in there cares. Everybody, and they all talk to each other. Everybody talks to each other. So you, the two black dudes are talking, and then they say to you, hey, what do you think? And you say that. So it's almost like...
I quite like it. It's got that vibe of like the communal Roman baths thing, only without the sodomy and catamites.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes that happens too. But
not in the steam rooms.
I haven't witnessed it, but yes.
No, thank you.
Speaking of steam rooms, I did something so stupid yesterday. I was meant to go to a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in my diary, and I thought, oh, okay, well, I'm ready for this. And, you know, I don't like leaving home, so it takes me – I struggle to get dressed and go to an event. I always wish I'd said no. So last night –
Don't say always, because then when your friend that hears this was like, but you came to my event last week, you must be like, I meant mostly.
No, I mean always. So I got dressed and headed through to Rosebank. That's quite a long way to go. Anyway, I ended up at this event and walked in. And the woman says to me, hi, can we help you? So I go, yeah. She goes, are you here for that dinner? So I said, yeah. And there was no one there.
She goes,
oh, it's tomorrow.
Oh, no.
I'm such an idiot. I put it in the wrong day in my diary. So I pitch up there in a suit and I'm all dressed up and I thought, oh, God. Not because now it's traffic time. There's no way I'm going to go home.
Because what time did you get there?
6:30.
So still back to Pretoria, quite a schlep.
It's a pain. So I thought I'd go to gym. So I ended up lucky. I had my gym bag with me in the car, went to the gym, got changed, did my training, and then I went and had some food there. But I felt like such an idiot. I'm like, why am I here?
Dude,
I'm here because I didn't plan things properly. I put the wrong date. Because I checked the email, and the email said the 30th. For some reason, I put it in on the 29th. It's never happened to me before.
Like,
I felt so dumb.
Chain gyms, like chain store gyms, are kind of all more or less the same. And some will be bigger than others. But, you know, and have a few more extra features, and some will be smaller, etc. But for the most part, they're the same. And I noticed there was this trend with new gyms that pop up, specifically Virgin Actives, because you may not think about it to look at me, but I've got quite a lot of experience with gym.
Yeah, I know you do. Absolutely.
That's kind of my saving grace. It's probably the reason why, touch wood, for now I'm still alive, is that whether I'm fat or thin, I still like to train. But I've been to kind of all of them. In Cape Town, three or four in around the Cape Town area, and my kind of local was the Wembley Square one. I always have a preference for one, even if it's not necessarily the closest. Like for me now, I go to Lone Hill, even though Cedar Square and Bryanston are closer. But I remember when the Bryanston one popped up, I noticed that there was now a unisex steam room and sauna. Yep. That doesn't work for fucking anyone. Excuse my language. And it's not just because like gender equality, blah, 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 men and women, how dare they put them together.
By the way, what they've got there is called an aqua lounge. So what they do is they've got a shared steam room, shared sauna, and shared little pool. It's like a relaxing pool with all these funny spa jets and things.
Without getting into any stupid gender politics, basically, let's assume a goodly proportion of the customers are cisgender or gay, whatever. They're just men or women, basically. Mm-hmm. And like, it's awkward because if you're a fantastic looking ripped man or woman, you don't want to be leered at by unattractive opposite sex people who are like not good enough for you and leering at you. And if you're overweight and you're not in shape and whatever and you're self-conscious about it, you don't want the people with the six-pack abs and like veins on their neck to be looking at you being like fat in your Speedo.
So it makes everyone self-conscious.
It's okay, I think. Like, I don't have any problem being fat in a steam room around like good condition guys. They don't really seem to give too much of a shit.
They're probably looking at themselves.
And I would feel really awkward if there are a bunch of hot girls that I don't know, you know, and I'm like in a pair of boxer shorts or whatever trying to steam. So I don't understand why that's a thing. But I also noticed that like certain branches will be richer in douchebags than others. And I remember when they built the Bryanston one, it drew a good proportion of the douchebags away from Greyston, away from Morningside. So you were I was training at Lone Hill one day and I was like, why this last 2 weeks have like half of the douchebags that leave the weights on the floor and like say but without any sense of irony at the end of every sentence, like, why aren't they here? Because they'd opened a new one.
Right.
So like I just wanted to know, A, if you have a preference for a certain one and are willing to travel extra for it. Because you said you came to gym this side. Are you comfortable just going to any gym?
Yeah, I'll go to anyone. I don't care. And you know what's nice about the one I went to last night, since we're talking about this? Most people don't give a shit. But honestly, it's a whole topic of conversation with people who do this. So Gordon and I could probably wax lyrical. See, I'd tell us when to shut up.
Yeah, because I didn't even know there's a
right next to one of our clients in Rosebank. And it's got a track on the outside that goes all the way around it. Not that I use the track, but you can also – there are outside areas where you can train, which is lovely. I mean, you know, it's very beautifully put together. You can see they've thought about
it. They do good art direction, these guys.
A lot of the older gyms, you could see, were built on those health and racket club.
Yes, I remember that very, very well.
A lot of them have filthy, dreadful carpets in them that have never been replaced.
They have apartheid carpets. Yeah, like apartheid. When you go into like a government office and the carpets are still there from apartheid.
That's
and they're made of those squares and like they're all peeling up at the corners.
I also call them apartheid.
And there's a missing one that's, you can see the concrete and the glue underneath. And they're so dusty that if you ever hit them with anything, it would like literally kill everyone in the building. The old gyms look like post offices and the new ones are quite sweet.
Yeah. So there are a couple of these that have an outside area. Some of them have just really a lot of space. So you don't feel like you're right on top of everybody else. Cause to be frank, it's not a social occasion. And I'm not very social at the gym. I'll put on a pair of headphones or earphones, and I'll get into the training. And it's a very selfish thing for me. I do love it. It gives me an hour of the day where I don't have to answer a call, where I don't have to check on social media or WhatsApp or anything else. And I can just focus on
improving myself physically
and improving myself mentally.
And someone coming up and being like, sorry, man, are you busy with that? Is like totally fine. But when people want to make friends, like I look more satanic than a government expense claim when I'm in the gym. I've got headphones in, I'm lang focused.
More satanic
than a government expense claim.
Okay, thank you.
I've got a new
metaphor for us this morning, though.
Headphones in, I'm like metaling it out, listening to like Slayer or Slipknot. And I look like I'm ready to punch someone. And then eventually someone will, by accident, strike up a conversation with me and I'll realize I'm really nice. I'm like, oh, hey, man, hi, no problem. But people who deliberately leave their weights lying where they've used them, I wish death upon those people. Wow. And I'm not a death wisher. So to close off the topic of gym, you It's as bad as filthying a public toilet on purpose. Oh. It just says you believe you are far more important, because it's not just about you didn't put it back on principle. That's not polite. The next person who needs it can't find it. And like, Oaks will take the dumbbells to the steam room and use them there and just leave them there. God, I hate it.
What?
Two things that make gym worse for everybody else is gym techno, where they put on that DSTV channel of like the crappiest hits from 10 years ago, now resung by an Eastern European who doesn't know what the words mean, over the worst techno from 15 years ago.
Okay.
And they play that. I leave gym if I've forgotten my headphones. I have two sets of headphones in my gym bag just in case somehow one gets damaged or broken. I will go home.
Because you can't handle that music.
I can't live with it. It's like it's almost for me like the sound of a mosquito. Like if you played the sound of a mosquito and chalk on blackboard for an hour and a half and told me work out, I just have to run away. That and Oaks leaving their weights behind. They should monitor it, warn you, and ban you from the gym. Two douchebags get kicked out of their favorite gym and are never allowed to go back, and the other 100 will start
behaving.
Anyway, that's my gym rant. So,
but you've been back in it, huh?
I'm back in it, yeah, and I'm boxing again. I'm pretty determined to make this year my comeback year.
Do we have a goal weight and all that kind
of
shit?
It's so much that I'm not bashful about this kind of thing, but it's so much that I'm still coming to terms with it. We'll maybe talk about it next week or the week after. I am, by a small margin, the heaviest I've ever been. And that's saying some shit.
Fuck,
because,
really?
I mean, you met me when I was like...
Really, Gordo? Yeah. You're heavier than you've ever been.
By a margin of about 7 or 8 kilos.
That's not great. Well, at least you've got a plan, you know.
And I've been at the doctor. I'm going, that's why I'm not having coffee now. I'm going for fasted blood tests just to check all that shit, that endocrine shit, check I've got no onset diabetes, please God. I got some bad stomach pains the other day and it seems to be completely fine. Like it seems, touch wood, the last of the blood tests will have to come back, but no, like, ECGs were fine. I think I just had a pine cone in my digestive system.
Excuse me?
No, dude, I woke up. And so I'm like, cool, I'm starting this new mission. I've been on a diet for 2 weeks. I'm back at a boxing gym. I'm training again. I've got like 2 weeks of momentum. I don't want to ever be like, I'm 2 weeks of diet. Look at me being a hero. But guys can follow my training and diet because it's pretty honest. And I try to sort of – it keeps me accountable to suffer in public, and it also helps some other people. So if you want to follow me on the specific account on Instagram, it's hippo mode, hippo_mode. Because dudes are always like, I'm going beast mode at the gym. I'm like, well, fucking hippos are beasts.
No.
So
I'm
going hippo mode. Wow. And it's going well so far. So I'd say wish me luck, because luck's got nothing to do with it. You don't accidentally slip, fall, and land on a cheeseburger with your face. But wish me consistency. And I'm starting at square minus one. But yeah, gotta start somewhere.
Folks. Okay. There's this whole gym subculture that I'd never thought of. Last night I was having dinner just at this center where there's a CrossFit class going on.
That's even a different thing. They're like cultists.
Like the amount of moaning and groaning and bashing of things that was taking place there. And then while I was having pizza and downing it with wine, looking at them. But this is quite intense.
Yeah. But you see, you know how you get like casual church, then you get fashion church, like Rivers Church, where it's more like go there to be seen by other people who don't get it. And you got like the little humble town church, but then you get to like weird sort of really like, what do you call them? Specific, like Seventh Day Adventists and Pentecostal people.
Yeah. Yeah,
then
yeah.
You get those people who are so fucking hardcore that they go and like create a cult away from society, and they all wear monk outfits and everybody has to bone David Koresh.
Yes.
Like CrossFit is
of
the gym world. And I'm not, as a fat bastard, going to disrespect some of the you get dudes who come out of there, and ladies who come out of there, in severely good shape, fitter than anyone else. It will create a machine out of a human. But first of all, the premise of how much difficult exercise can you do as fast as possible is not great from an injury perspective. And they are like vegans, feminists, Jehovah's Witnesses rolled into one with a fitness bent. Like, don't start a conversation with a CrossFitter unless you're ready to be told about CrossFit.
I actually felt slightly bad because after their class, a group of them walked over to the restaurant my friend and I were at, and they sat down, and I'm thinking, well, it's an Italian place, they'll get something, you know, just like us, they'll get some pasta or some pizza. They all sat there and they had like this green juice before they sat they got up and left.
Oh, listen, there are people doing such weird shit at the moment. Can I just point out something? Sean sent me a picture of this toilet. Speaking of unisex or all gender facilities, Lena Headey. Is it Lena Headey?
Yeah, it's Headey or Headey. I don't ever care.
Posted this picture on Instagram the other day. It kind of backfired looking at the comments. So it's a photograph of all genders. So
just remind everyone, where's she from?
I don't know.
She's from some TV thing, isn't
she? I don't know
she?
Who she is.
She's famous.
So it's got the wheelchair accessible sign, and then above that it's got a round thing with the male arrow going off to the right.
Oh, so it's like the arrow with the circles. The circle with the arrows.
The female cross coming out of the bottom, and then I suppose it's the trans thing going out of the left-hand side, which is an arrow and a little cross.
Oh, like an arrow with a cross in it as well. Okay.
Yeah, and she said, and the winner for bathrooms at Sundance. Right, that's what Lena Headey said.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently it's backfired because all the comments are like, this is bullshit, we don't like this. Now, I don't know, it's weird. Like 99% of the
Cersei
of the comments,
Lannister, sorry to interrupt you,
oh, is
Gareth.
That her?
That's who she is. She's Cersei Lannister.
Okay.
Shame. Well, shame.
So 99% of the people who left comments, male and female, don't want that stuff. Well, you see, like we all know that there are people with real transgender physical and mental conditions and issues, and I don't for a minute want to be the guy who says that's bullshit.
Mm.
There are also a lot of people who are just mentally ill and looking for attention, and the gender thing is very hot at the moment, so that's what they choose.
Like exactly.
And it's like those people who pretend to be black when they're not.
Perfect.
Pretend
said,
to be white.
Yeah.
And so we know there are a lot of those crazy
crackpots. There's a spectrum.
Yeah. So for the people who are truly transgender, and you're the only one who knows that, and I'm not going to test you, and it's none of my business, then you go and pee wherever you want to pee. I really don't mind.
As long as it's in the toilet, not on or around it. Next
yeah, don't
to
make
it.
A mess.
But fuck. I mean, gee whiz. Don't, no one's responsibility to clean your toilet stuff.
Yeah. But. And then there are those people who are really just creeps. And you find them, they're male, they're female, but they're mostly male. And any excuse for a creepy male to get into a women-only area, in particular a women's bathroom or a women's locker room where they're busy changing, a creepy, mentally ill man will take that opportunity at every opportunity. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about real transgender people who are transitioning into another gender from the one that they were biologically born.
And like able
born.
To escape their misery.
Sure. I have no problem with you. Probably chances are you don't want to go and get naked in front of anyone, I'm sure.
Just like most people, you know? Have your nudity boundaries.
Sure, but if you give half a chance to one of these creepy, mentally ill, rapey men, and there are a lot of them in the world, we know that, to get into a place where there are just young girls or women, it makes me very nervous. And I get concerned for the safety of the girls in there. Not because of the transgender people. Again, I've got to, you got to say this 100 times because people are dumb. They hear what they want to hear. And I'm very nervous about those people. I'm nervous about those people being in the men's change room, let alone in the women's
change room. It's just awkward, man. Like some people, I know a lot of people, and I probably should be one of them just for the benefit of everybody else, the fans of non-fatness like you, Gareth. But I mean, a lot of people are just bashful in a unisex bathroom. I know guys that getting the towel on after
I know,
the pants come
I know
off.
Guys who won't take off their shirts at the pool.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like I mean, some people are bashful in general. It's reasonable to say that, and I think it's reasonable to assume or assert that a significant percentage of people from any gender are a bit uncomfortable being naked around strangers or partially naked around strangers, and more so around the different gender, since there's no more opposite, there's others.
Sure.
Especially when there's like a good physical condition differential. Some people at the gym are out of shape, and that's why they're
so
there, and some people
maybe,
are in great shape.
Are you maybe advocating for people in great shape bathrooms and people not in great shape bathrooms.
I'm just saying.
And you would choose yourself. So if you weigh like, I don't know, 220 kilograms and you think you look great, you go into the
You'd have like a ceremony for when you graduate from the fatty sauna to like the middling sauna. They'll welcome you. They'll only welcome you if they deem you worthy and they've seen your progress. If you're in too early, they'll be like someone, it'll be awkward twice or three times, and then they will have had a conversation in your absence, and someone will take you aside and be like, hey man, listen, I noticed you've been sitting in the good looking people sauna the last couple of weeks. Now, I don't know how to break this to you. Just like, don't take this the wrong way, but you should maybe go spend some more time with the fatties. I know the tiles are greasier and more slippery in there.
They pull you aside. Yeah, they whisper in your ear.
And it's the one oak whose job is to like be condescendingly polite about it. The others have powwowed like nominated Kyle or Brett or Brecken to come and tell you to be better looking.
That new app Model Pass is, I think, the first step to that.
Tell us about Model Pass.
Oh, didn't you? Oh, we spoke about it last week Friday.
Yeah. Let us know.
A legitimate app for models who are signed to agencies to go to selected restaurants that are signed up to this app, yes, and they get to eat for free.
So the irony of free.
No, literally free. Because so the thing
free
is,
free tickets to Firefest first, now meals.
It's pretty privileged, Gord. That's just the new craze.
But being good looking.
But it makes sense, though. If you are a model and you go to a place and you Instagram about it,
and
that's the condition.
Also, and the crowd is better looking for the others.
There we go.
Yeah, people do like to go where the hot people are. Mm. All right, let's just get back to the messages quickly. So Stephen said, it is the chick from Game of Thrones. That's Lena Headey. She's Cersei Lannister.
She's so beautiful.
Jeff says, look up Tiger Muay Thai. It's the biggest fitness camp in Thailand. You go to gym for 3 months and you'll be as fit as fuck on your return.
I got mates that do that. I got fighter mates. Because of my brief stint as the Shouty Oak from EFC and because I train boxing with actual athletes, I know quite a few people in the MMA community. And I find like there's the bad reputation for being butt ridden and like full of like, actually, I want to check someone get their face broken.
The fighters
are mostly, with exceptions, mostly like pretty good balanced people who like really enjoy. It's the audience that want to hit each other with beer bottles. Mm. But quite a few people I know who are like professional or semi-professional fighters that I know several people that have been on those Muay Thai camps, and man, they come back ripped. But what a lot of them do is they do that camp and then they peg 3 weeks of like pina coladas, mushrooms, and ladyboys onto the end of it.
Ladyboys. Okay, then someone says, good morning, fam. Are we hearing Gord for the first time this year? Compliments. No, he was here last week, but it's okay. You know, you're forgiven. This has to be read in a four-ways accent, all right?
No, Gord?
No, I'm a CrossFitter, and I call bullshit on the injuries and CrossFit myth. Come at me, China, because I do jiu-jitsu as well, but.
Oh, so he wants me to read his message. Yeah. Now, Gord, but listen. I'm a CrossFitter, injury-free, and I draw jiu-jitsu. So if you want to talk about the standing up or lying down, but we can have a conversation. From...
That's brilliant. By the way, I saw a clip. Someone's sending a clip around of you doing Hard Eddie on safari.
Narrates the wildlife thing.
Yeah,
there's two of those.
It's going around.
If you want to actually see them legitimately, like, I say this with a degree of bitterness in my voice just because it's happened to me so many times, but I kind of get it and I do the same thing. People feel the need when you've got a video in a public platform, like it's on YouTube or it's on Facebook, set to no privacy, and anybody, even without a Facebook account, can at any stage just see your video by sharing a link. Some dickface needs to rip it at low resolution and screw the res up and then send it to all their friends because now, hey, it's my video and I'm going to share it. It's like, I'll just send a link to where we put it. So I get irritated when people send me via WhatsApp a low res version of a video I made and say, hey, this sounds like you. Check how funny this is. You'll love this. And I'm like, yeah, I made that 3 years ago. But if you go to PVR Films on Facebook, they have a Facebook page, PVR Films, and just scroll through their videos. There's two trip through the bushveld featuring Hard Eddie as narrator. You can actually play it if you ever get the inclination on the show, GC, because the commentary give you a good idea of what's happening in the visuals.
Right.
But it was funny, and you should check it out. PVR Films, Hard Eddie, Hard Eddie featuring Hard Eddie with the wildlife.
All right. A lot of people still talking about the Fyre Festival that we brought up last week. And now there are different payment methods. You know, on the internet, they go choose your payment method. There's Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and then the guy who sucks dick.
Oh, my God. You know what I was thinking, though, dude? Like, I don't know if you ever, did you watch the whole documentary? Or,
no.
Okay, so in the documentary, there's a very lovely Jamaican lady. I mean, she's the Jamaican equivalent of everybody's favorite Tunny. Mm-hmm. She's just sweet as hell, and she looks like she's like everybody's favorite mom from growing up. And she lost $50,000 of her own money, and cross-border lawsuits are expensive and long and very difficult.
Right.
And the company is now insolvent. She did all the catering for all of the people. She was supposed to get a bunch of money for doing the catering for the people at the festival. She fed the work staff, and she was left with – she had to pay the bill herself, and she said it was kind of her life savings, and it was $50,000. And she was crying when she explained it, and it was bloody heartbreaking. That was the end part where it's like, and the funny stuff stops, and you start seeing how many people were affected.
Yeah.
And like 200 laborers that worked for weeks and months prior that never got paid, and they're laborers. Mm-hmm. I would like to start some sort of GoFundMe and try to get it in the eyes of the, like the American public.
No, but more importantly,
just to get that lady her money back.
Wasn't Jar bloody rule paying these people back? I mean, to me.
And the joke about that is like, well, how come Billy Dickface got 6 years jail time and Ja Rule, who was his quote unquote, millions of times quoted as being his partner and joint venture partner? And the joke is, which is actually cuck funny, is that, oh, they decided a life sentence of being Ja Rule was punishment enough, which is funny. But like, it sounds like he's got off scot free. And there's even like damning evidence in the documentary where his staff go, dude, we can't keep saying things that aren't true. It's fraud. And he on the speakerphone goes, I wouldn't call it fraud. Holla, holla. It's called, let's call it false advertising. And they all just look at each other like, are you serious? What's the fucking difference? Ja Rule, I've always hated him because I'm a big hip hop head. I know you, GC, are also an old school hip hop head.
Always hated him.
And
yeah,
he sucks the most. Also, he kind of besmirched Metallica's reputation by taking some outtakes of some demos that they made of songs that they didn't ultimately end up recording, and presumably with permission, made a really awful hip hop song using bits of a Metallica song that never got released as the backing. So that hurt me. And he's always beefed with some of my favorite rappers, and he's just a total and utter douchebag. And he's funny looking. And I know that's not something to hate somebody about, but if you walk around shirt off, bad tattoos, like he's got all the things that douchebags are arrogant about, but he's bad at all of them. Like he walks around like handsome, like he's Usher, but he's not. He's in shape and that's cool, good for him, but he's got these like cliched tattoos and they're badly done. You can't read the one across his chest. He's like done every douche cliche, but done it badly. I can't bear him.
All right, we've got to move on.
By the way, just to conclude and make you feel better, Gord, that someone beat you to that idea, and there was a GoFundMe page set up for the caterer.
Okay.
And they've actually raised more than $120,000
for
her.
Oh, beautiful. Is it still open? Because I'm going to go just put a couple hundred rand in. My non-millionaire contribution of like $300 just to feel like, because that was totally horrible.
Mm.
So well done, humanity, because that really makes me happy that that's been done.
Yeah, her name is Marianne Roll.
She was such a sweet lady and she was so devastated by it. Anyway, as you say, Gareth, moving on.
All right, the five things you need to know this morning. Better late than never. The CRL Commission has given the city of Johannesburg 4 months to clean up non-compliant safety issues at churches in both the inner and inner city and townships. The commission says this has to be tackled as a matter of urgency to ensure that the lives of churchgoers are protected. Remember, this all comes in the wake of three people who died at the controversial pastor Shepherd Bushiri's church in Pretoria last month.
It's going to be a new thing.
Now, this piece of shit had the temerity to say that he had there's no way he could be blamed for what happened. Three people died in a stampede, really. Some of the buildings designed for office use, others have been accommodating close to five churches without the knowledge of the municipality.
Mm.
And this guy was called in front of this commission. He says he's not responsible. It's not his fault. And he does not. He charges, as we discussed yesterday with JJ Tabane, which you've got to listen to if you didn't do it. We discussed how this guy charges $10,000 to poor people just to queue up to see him with the possibility of seeing him. And sometimes he doesn't even get to them and they lose the $10,000.
No, come on.
Yes.
This is pay how, for the, to get in the queue.
Gord, you have the depravity and the credulity of people.
And it's like, I'll cure you with miracles, right?
Presumably. Oh, yes. Yeah. He's the guy. Yeah. Speaks tongues, all that shit. Anyway, so this guy, and by the way, a lot of these bigger, fancier churches that have more money are really the same kind of charlatans. They just have more money.
Yeah.
It's like Ja Rule, really.
Yeah, except with money.
Well, this is my point, is that all of these churches are, they really are just fire festivals waiting to fall apart. And you see them fall apart. You know, it's a pyramid scheme.
And they're government subsidized, and like, well, it's just,
they're not government
subsidized. Now they're allowed to contribute in the States to political campaigns.
They're not government subsidized. They are taxed like we are not. And in fact, most of them.
Well, they're not like we are.
Correct. And thank you. It's far more eloquent than what I was about to say.
Yeah, you've done
and,
right.
And the problem
it.
Is that you highlight something else. They do go to bed with politicians, and they contribute to politicians' kitties in terms of election funding. And they shouldn't be allowed to. Mm. Either there is a wall between church and state, or the churches have to pay taxes. That's all there is to it, right?
There's no great.
But also, if you're raising money, so like, I'm not a financial expert. But I do a bit of taxes now and then. And if you are raising money for uses, for parish use and for community use and to maintain the church and to pay the people who work for the church and pay the church band a little nominal amount of money and upgrade their violins, and the money you raise is for the purpose of the church, i.e. non-profit, whatever you make after expenses are paid, you plow into projects. You should have a ledger book that says, we earned $450 million because of the glory of the Lord, and we spent it on fixing the church, building a better stage, soup kitchen once a week, helping the homeless and making sure no one's gay. And you should be able to then say, okay, the book's balance. If you've got 408 of your 415 million left to buy jets with and Ferraris, that should be profit from your organization. Like, they shouldn't, if you are not being taxed, fine. If you're not making profit. These are profitable organizations where the Oaks that own them build mansions. They pay themselves.
It's accounting.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
All right, here are some messages before we go to the next story. She's not Jamaican Gord, and it's good that you're supporting her.
Bahamas, sorry. Yeah. No, I think I'm wrong.
Lionel. Gord, we love your stories and how you relay them with vehement disdain, but please stop talking over Gareth. You have an annoying habit of speaking over Gareth when he talks. That's someone else.
I do not, Gareth, have an annoying habit of talking over you.
Anushka says, hey guys, I read that Agritzi, the Basasa Mafia guy, has his house in Four Ways. I'm so glad I moved from that ratchet place. Four Ways.
And he's trying to sell it off very quickly. Like, he's put it up on various sites online. It's quite a gorgeous house.
Four Ways is ratchet.
Hey Gord, says Mr. Schmangles, I used to have a brother who went to the gym doing heavy weights with me, but then he joined CrossFit. Now I have a sister. All right. A hefty sentence has been handed to serial rapist Joseph Mahloma, and a lot of people are welcoming that. Do you know the name?
I just heard it from the news recently.
Okay. Gauteng MEC for Community Safety, Sizakele Nkosi Malubane, has welcomed the sentence handed down to serial rapist Joseph Mahloma. The High Court sentenced him to 20 life sentences and an additional 520 years behind bars. So he's not coming out. Goodbye. He was found guilty of 94 charges, including 15 counts of kidnapping, several counts of unlawful possession of a firearm and robbery with aggravating circumstances, as well as rape. Mahloma has been terrorizing the community of Tembisa. He raped 14 women in a period of 6 months in 2014. So there's a douchebag going behind bars for the rest of his life.
So horrible. I wanted to make a joke about the hefty sentence and be like, I imagine the judge being like, here's your sentence, and opening like a Chaucerian English book and being like, forsooth, 'twas upon the morning, and reading this, like, it's got part participle, dangling participles, gerunds.
A heavy sentence.
Yes, you were sentenced. But then you got into like the fact that the soak was truly a piece of shit and I didn't make the joke. So well, that was
no,
a joke.
Did,
I,
in the end
that was
did.
The joke I didn't crack today.
In the end, you got round to it. Somehow you found a way of
getting around it. Yeah.
You wedged it in there. All right.
So that's an adjustment, Norman.
After some reprieve, motorists may have to dig deeper into their pockets next month. You know, the reprieve is obviously that the petrol price came down, but the AA have predicted petrol will go up by 8 cents a litre, while diesel will go down by 3 cents a litre. The association says next month's prediction shows illuminating paraffin will go down by 9 cents. Petrol decreased by R1.20 a litre at the start of the year, and they say international oil prices have reached a slightly higher plateau, climbing in the first half of January. Over the same period, the rand has firmed gradually against the dollar, nearly at R15.20 to the dollar, currently hovering at around R14 to the dollar, offsetting the oil price to some degree. So that's good news. And a little bit of bad news on the horizon. You've got to take it all in context. Angelo Agresi, he's this guy from Basasa, who's decided he's going to out everybody. And by the way, I heard these really bad jokes going around about who are the three greatest Italian singers: Luciano Pavarotti, Andrea Bocelli, and Angelo Agresi.
Oh, he is singing like a canary.
So, after a marathon stint in the witness seat at the state capture inquiry, Chief Operating Officer of Bosasa, Angelo Agresi, has wrapped up his testimony. He spent 9 days giving evidence about the facilities management company and how they were paying just about everybody. On Tuesday, he acknowledged being a racist and told the inquiry that Bosasa boss Gavin Watson's family offered him millions of rand in hush money to prevent him from blowing the lid on corruption at the company. And by the way, this Gavin Watson, who was paying everybody off in bribes and basically running a money laundering operation, they used to have a prayer meeting every morning, and Agresi didn't take part in the prayer meeting some days, and Gavin Watson had a problem with that. You know, this is the kind of hypocrisy that you can only really get away with if you're a very fervent religious person. You're able to compartmentalize your life in such a revolting way that you are a criminal who is suborning all kinds of crooked practice in your business. And you're making tons of illicit money out of government contracts that you've got through bribery. That's what it is. But at the same time, you're a really good Christian and you have prayer meetings every morning. And anyone who doesn't come to the prayer meetings must be a bad person. Oh, as if to assuage your guilt.
There's also those, like, you know, the whole Martin Luther, what do you call it? Paying for, there's a name for it, like forgivenesses, paying for.
Indulgences.
Yeah, there was a word that he used.
Yeah, it was indulgences.
You could go and say, right, I'm going to rape some people next week. Go to your priest, be like, cool, this is a sin I'm going to commit.
Yeah.
Get pre-forgiven, pay for it.
Yes.
It's not called indulgences, it's not called transgressions. There's a word they used for these type of sins. And it's like, people kind of don't get the whole idea of like moral, and I'm no moral, you know, perfect individual, but people don't get the principle. I understand the concept. Like, it's not about whether you got a technical loophole to exploit. And, you know, I can do what I want. I'm religious and I pray, so therefore I can do what I want to anyone I want. Because
no,
it's kind of, I've got a slate wiping device. And that's what a lot of people think. They're like, as long as I go to church and as long as I say sorry once a week, I can do whatever I want
I can be a hijacker and scrap metal dealer the rest of the time and I'll be fine.
And then once a week, just clear the slate and hope that if you die, you die close to a slate cleaning. Like, don't have your slate cleanings on Sunday and die on a Saturday, because then you poked.
Yeah, so anyway, they've also acknowledged that he is a racist, and whether or not he is makes no difference to his testimony. The guy has been equally condemning of both his white boss, Gavin Watson, and the black government officials that were paid off by Watson. And to me, it certainly doesn't affect the credibility of his testimony. It doesn't make him a nice person. But then I could have told you that by about 2 minutes of watching him talk. He's not the kind of guy I'd want to hang around with. But then that's just me. And then finally, I just do find this exciting because, and forgive me if I'm going on about this a little bit, but the prayer meetings were there to manipulate staff former Bosasa Chief Financial Officer Andries van Tonde on Tuesday, described Bosasa CEO Gavin Watson as a manipulative person and someone who used people for his own ends. He took the stand after Angelo Grizzi's explosive testimony. He said Watson used early morning mandatory prayer meetings as a tool to control his staff. He used those sessions to determine who was loyal to him. He insisted that everyone pray out loud,
saying
he needed to hear where we were at. I stopped attending the prayer meetings, which led to a deterioration of the relationship between us. He said he felt used by Watson. Now, again, I do have to say, I'm really, really concerned about people who use religion as a cloak for their own crookedness. And Gavin Watson seems to me to be the perfect example of someone who would sit in the front row at some charismatic church, lauding it over everyone else about what a good Christian he was, probably making massive donations to the church like he did to all these politicians, but at the same time being as crooked as can be.
Yeah. And there's, again, like throwing disclaimers in these days as we're kind of obliged to do every time you want to say something vaguely controversial, but there's that meme that goes around sometimes. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. Like, there are many people for whom religion is a moral compass and who do a lot of good via the channel of their religion. So not all religious people are morons or stupid.
No, of course not. But guys like this make it very, very hard for them.
And there are so many
people who just use
it as a reason to be a dickhead. Yeah. Or they in it out of fear instead of affection for their religion. But the point I was going to make is there's that meme that goes around that says, like, until there should be no more mega churches until there are mega homeless shelters. And it's kind of like an old meme that I'm sure a lot of people have seen, and just shows one of those, like, churches that looks like the most advanced and expensive concert hall in the world. You know, it's true. Like, where are the mega homeless shelters built for millions?
Well, someone says, I like the this is Mfundo. He says, I like the morning's conversation about the Ponzi scheme churches, but man, they will call you a devil if you question their principle. Like, we know for sure the devil is a person. Yeah, Mfundo, I'm afraid there's nothing you can do for that. Call me the devil. I don't mind.
Well,
I think you just outed me as the devil.
You are the devil.
Yeah. Bitcoin's trading at $3,443 and Ethereum at $106. Sia, it's said by Sia time.
This morning, I want to talk about the oldest winner of the Nobel Prize. Usually I talk about all of these cool kids who are doing amazing things. 96 years old.
Nice.
Right? That's quite a rock star move. And I bring this story up because I think it's a good reminder to know that you can always just go after something and do things. And if you want, just change the world, Nochal, even at 96 years old. His name is Arthur Ashkin, and he's 96 years old. He's a scientist and an inventor. And last year, he became the oldest Nobel Prize winner for breakthroughs in the world of physics. And his age is not stopping him in going and continuing to hopefully change the world some more, because now he has his eyes set on revolutionizing the world of solar energy and making it accessible and cheap for everyone around the world.
Wow.
Right? 96 years old, he started just being very fascinated with science and physics in his basement at home. He built a lab. No pressure, Gareth, but you know, you also have a lab. This could be inspiration. And it was his life.
I'll give my Nobel Prize at 99.
Oh, beat that, Arthur.
Yeah, my life's goal is to beat Arthur. Yes. I got to live long enough and then get a Nobel Prize.
Right.
And just from his basement, he was able to experiment to the point where he's now created a solar energy device that can make electricity cheap and affordable for everyone across the world. So according to a Business Insider report, Arthur's idea is pretty simple. His invention uses the power of geometry to capture and utilize light like it has never been done before. I don't know what this means, but all they continue to say as well.
Geometry.
He uses tubes as well to concentrate and intensify solar radiation. So more than all of this, Arthur is proud of the fact that this latest invention is actually not going to cost a whole lot. He describes it as dirt cheap now.
I suppose with geometry, you could refract and reflect the sun in such a way as to concentrate, almost like a magnifying glass. You can you know, you burn an ant with a magnifying glass if you hold it at the right distance.
I don't. Only nasty people do that.
But if you concentrate that heat and that light in a specific place,
focus it in the right place.
You can now. He's trying to find a way, obviously, to absorb that energy and turn it into something which is storable. Oh. Very good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Let's go with what you said.
I mean, this is me pulling ideas out of the sky of what it could mean.
And by the way, at 96, he says he has his eyes set on another Nobel Prize in future because he'll still carry on working. My goodness.
Not giving up.
Not at all.
What was his name again?
Arthur Ashkin. Nice. He's been fascinated with science since the 60s, and one of his discovery has actually led to the likes of life-saving malaria tests. So this guy is not resting at
overachieving
all.
Overachieving hard.
Take it down, man.
That's just advice here for this morning.
All right, very nice. What are you going to do this morning, Gord?
Yeah.
I'm not going to use geometry to make solar energy more useful for everybody. I'm going to go get some blood tests. I'm going to the chiropractor. I'm going to go weigh myself on the special magic scale.
So it's health and fitness week for you.
Just like admin, really. Yeah, pretty much today, I guess it is all health and fitness, but it's morning admin. And no, I'm not going to do anything for the benefit of mankind. I might tip a few people at the robots.
Not even one thing for the benefit of mankind?
I give people at the robots money, and I tip everyone, car guards and petrol attendants and pretty much bloody everyone. So that's what I'll do.
So you're like Basasa, except at a very low level.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much. And I do it without it. I hope not to get any benefit out of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's nice of you. I mean, the expectation of return, they also had none of that with Nomvula Mokonyane because, you know, she wasn't going to do anything for her 50 grand a month or whatever it was.
And look how that turned out.
Yeah. All right. It's just before 7. When we come back, some news. We're going to check in on some useful information about how you can save on tax and a lot more. It's busy. It's busy today. You've come to the right place.
This is CliffCentral.com.